Radio, it's time to join Sky Thoroughbred Central for our Sunday morning simulcast of Thoroughbred Weekly with all the latest racing news and reviews. Here's your host, Greg Radley.
Royal Randwick, it was hot. The track was good, and we got to see the star of the show, Winx, who was in action for the first time since her Cox Plate win. So we'll get to that in a moment. There were a few interesting track gallops out there as well. Ronnie Duffercy was standing beside me all day in the heat, but there's something about that girl, Winx, and her big cheer went up when she hit the front.
Oh, for sure. Look, what the record speaks for itself now. She's resumed after five straight wins. She's 6 from 6. She certainly stole the show as far as the thoroughbreds are concerned across Australia yesterday. In Melbourne, maybe a couple of very good training performances stole the show.
No doubt. Hello, Richie.
Hello, boys and girls. And, yeah, I thought, look, Winx was great yesterday, and we just have to put that in perspective. That's always, you know, hard to do with when people, you know, want to gush about a performance, but it was a very good one, and I think she'll get better as she goes further into the autumn here. And in Melbourne, you know, that All Stakes had 13 Group 1 winners in it. It was a serious race, so anyone can win it, and it was a good win from the winner, so we'll have a look at that. And, of course, we've got the Blue Diamond Preludes down there, and, you know, two-year-olds are always interesting this time of year.
Priscilla Smith joining us on the couch for the first time.
Morning, boys. Morning, Greg.
You've drawn well. Right beside Richie.
Did you get a Valentine's today?
I was waiting on you to bring me a rose in, Richard.
I've been waiting a long time.
Especially when she pinched your car park.
Right next to my trailer.
Yeah, didn't he blow up?
Oh, he's like,
who's parked in?
Who's this newbie?
Happy Valentine's, then.
Let's have a look at it. Here we go. Here's Winx yesterday in the Apollo Stakes. And, Ronnie, the punters started to cheer when they thought she was a real winning chance, and she loomed alongside Solicent. They were really urging her along, even though a lot of people out there probably didn't take the short odds. They wanted her to win.
Yeah, look, she's like the people love her. They love a horse that's got a bit of an X factor about her, and Bowman always had her in that winning position, which was the ideal spot. He kicked up inside centre pivot early, held his position, so he was always going to be in contact. And this, just about from here on in, she just, you know, the class come through, and she asserted her superiority, and Bowman just a little soft on a late there. I thought Solicit was ridden to win. She just wanted to take the sting out of Winx first up. I thought it was a really, really good ride on Solicit, because she had the run coming into that race. Look, there was a couple of good runs in this race. I think Araki has come up very, very well. He took a while to come to hand in the spring, where his coat wasn't there, but he looked a picture there yesterday.
I know Shea said he was gelded and he didn't winter well leading into that
track. Okay.
But now he's fine.
No, his performance was great. But look, the story of the race was the winner, Winx.
I just thought it was great. I thought she came back as exactly the way you'd want her to come back. She looked very, very fit before it too. I was watching her in the mounting yard on your coverage. You said she looked fit. I saw her at the gallop the week before. She looked fit then too. So I think there's definitely improvement in her as the races get longer, but fitness wise I think she's pretty well there. Don't know that she'd have won the All. There you go. I don't know that she'd have won the All Stakes.
Why? Because she's not good enough?
No, not because she's not good enough, only because there were, you know, she's probably not at her best at this distance first up, and might have needed to be a little bit better to win the All.
Why?
Just because there'd be more pressure in that race.
Like a mare won the All, was first up in 12 months.
I know, but she's a first up specialist. Please. And a very good mare, you know, as well. Group 1 winner, won the Futurity first up last start. So we'll get on to that.
She would have won the All.
I don't know that she would have won the All. I think she'd have been very competitive in it. I think it's a very good effort, but I don't think she's... Look, I think the public...
You think we're getting carried away with Winx.
No, I think you're...
You do.
You're entitled to get carried away with her. But I think people are thinking that she's black caviar, but black caviar at a top was unbeatable.
No one thinks she's black caviar.
Well,
Name one person who said she's black caviar.
You.
Me.
You want to make things up.
I think people want her to be another one. But
they do. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. But the wish for her to be our next champion... can you turn your phone off?
I'm Fedham, Samsung. I'm going to sue them.
Another case of beer.
Take it away. Priscilla, what do you think about her? What do you think about Winx? We want her to be great, but no one's suggesting she's black caviar.
No one's comparing her to black caviar, but I think the hype that she creates with the public is similar to black caviar. The people that flocked to the mounting yard yesterday just to see her, as soon as she went past the post, the crowd just supported her.
Yeah.
They come to the races to see her, and I think that is great for young people to get them back to the races. No one's compared her to black caviar, but the environment that she creates at the race course and that the young people want to see her, they love seeing her win.
Yeah. Hughie pointed that out yesterday. We're talking about nerves. The owners were very nervous, waiting to see what they can expect as she come back. And Hughie Bowman said he started to get a few butterflies when he saw people come to the edge of the mounting yard to take pictures. Yeah. Now, that doesn't happen for every horse.
No, that's not. And that's all I'm saying. Look, I think she's the best horse in the country and will prove to be the best horse of the autumn. No doubt about that in my mind. I'm just putting it in perspective, I think she's not unbeatable.
No, look, I see where you're coming from. You know, look, she's been beaten before and not in the recent time. So, look, Black Caviar won all. Yeah. She was undefeated. So it's just silly lining her up there. That's just silly.
Speaking to Alan Thomas yesterday after the races, and because he called that massive win in the Sunshine Coast Guineas, and he said he'd never seen a horse improve so much from that point onwards. Yeah. Yeah. That was a defining moment, day when she came from last at the Sunshine Coast in the Guineas.
We all thought that was just too good to be true. Yes. That's not Winx.
Yeah,
but
something switched on that day and bang.
She's really come on since that day though, hasn't she? I think we've seen her progress, and I think there's a lot of pressure on Chris Waller and the team to have her perform now that the expectation's there.
She left Sydney after her Oaks campaign here, just another horse.
Exactly.
Went to Brisbane, just another horse. Came out of Brisbane, just another horse. And it wasn't until that was it the Theo Marks, followed by that phenomenal Epsom win. But if we thought she was a black caviar superstar, she would have started twos on in a Cox Plate. She didn't.
No. Exactly.
She won like a twos on.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And there's a little query about that Cox Plate because of the bias. Everyone's got that in the back of their head about the bias on the day. You know, she had the fence on fire, flattered by the win, but you can only do it, and she just keeps doing the unbelievable.
Having said that, God, I'd love to own her.
Oh. Look, let's just enjoy her for what she is.
Exactly.
And that's a rising star that we hope keeps on winning. Let's hear from the winning trainer. He might have found, at this stage of his career, his best horse. And who's to say what's going to come in the future for Chris Waller? But right at this moment, Winx is the girl, and Hugh Bowman was on board here. They are both yesterday.
Today's probably one of the most nervous I've been in recent years. The early days were pretty nervous when I was getting here for my first time and things like that. But there's a sense of importance about these, or a horse almost on the cusp of a superstar in our eyes. She already is, but I feel it's important for racing. You keep them winning, and I just think every time about Pete Moody and Black Caviar, what he must have went through. That's another level again. I'm not saying we're there, but I just think it's fantastic for racing, and I hope everyone's with us.
Yeah, look, the pace was genuine, and I suspected it might have been. I've ridden Solicit, I know her well, and I thought she's here and she's fit enough to sort of make it a bit of a test. So I was mindful that it might have been like that, and in the middle stages I felt as I was getting a little too far out of touch. But I needed to do that to keep my mare comfortable, you know. She's a first priority for me at this stage, and I wanted to make sure she was comfortable, and she certainly didn't let me down when I needed her.
3 on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
To have a look at the light fingers right now, and it probably didn't turn out the way punters thought, Duff, but a little bit of respect given here for Perignon after the race. There she is back third last.
Yeah, well, she'd been really good without, well, I think she'd only won one race last in a career leading into this preparation, but she was been placed in group ones and group twos, so she'd been around the mark throughout her career, but it's Gerald's had a couple resume, these autumn three-year-olds, and in the last couple of weeks, and he's got the job done, and this filly was very strong, and they slowed up and she got back as well, and so there's a lot of merit in the performance. Kangarilla Joy, she'd had a good, you know, grounding coming into this race. Just whether she finished off the end of 1200 is a little query, along with Tempt Me Not. The favourite here, I thought, Stay With Me, was just ridden too negatively. I'm not saying that she would have won, because she was following Perignon there, but they were just far too negative.
I agree with that.
She wasn't ridden to win.
It was a bit of a negative ride. I agree with that. Tactics were negative. I had to have a little giggle. I might be seeing things, but when we get to the side on, watch Timmy Clark there. He gets to about the red line, the red rail, and he thinks, I can win this.
Yeah.
And he goes from riding hard to riding extra hard.
On Stay With Me, McAvoy stated his instructions were to find cover most likely at the rear of the field, not to expose his horse until the 350. Stated the moderate tempo didn't assist, inclined to over race, checked off heels at the 700, thought the run ended at the 100. That's from the stewards.
Yeah, look, in their defence, she is a mare that needs cover. She can get a little hot and want to over race in her races. But Blind Freddy could see there was no speed in this race. So, really, it was a very, very negative. She'll improve off the run. Look, excuses for her, but disappointing if you're backed up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, can't argue.
Nothing more to add.
No, they didn't go overly quick.
No.
The horses at the tail of the field did over-race mid-race, but I think all honours were with the winner. I thought she was very impressive.
Hasn't he run into some form, Timmy Clark?
Has he what?
Yeah.
He's riding a lot of winners of late, and it's amazing, you know, when you ride a few, the confidence just flows through you. And funny things happen. The gaps get bigger. Mm. The winners keep rolling in, so good on him.
Okay, let's go to... have we got the jockey? We've got Timmy Clark. Actually, speaking of man in form, here he is. Here's Top Cat.
Classy filly, first up against colour race fifth horses, which was always going to be a tough ask, but was really happy when I found Huey's back down the side, and just wanted to hold on to her as long as I could, and yeah, fortunately we timed it right and got there on the end.
So even 150 out, you were still pretty happy?
Yeah, I was confident sort of inside the furlong that I was going to get there. Knew that she was... She ran over sort of a mile at the end of last preparation, so I banked on that she was going to be strong late, and Gerald's done a terrific job, got her here spot on.
Heard the owner, Damien Flower, on radio this morning. Both Timmy Clark and I think Huey Bowman in the past have suggested she doesn't get that strong mile, but he said that with her maturing and being a lot more grown up now, he thinks the... She will get it.
Jockeys
say no.
People do make judgments on horses sometimes way too soon. I know it doesn't happen, but I heard people talking about a two-year-old had had, and I'll bring it up when it happens, he's had one start. He's got a racing pattern now. Mm. You know, he's had one start.
Yeah.
You know? He's got no pattern.
He's locked into that pattern for the rest of his
that's
life.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
Let's go to the feature sprint of the day, and the country came to town. The Scone Gallop of Big Money was on song. He's back to his best with this?
Yeah, I'd say so. Look, although he's just a little horse, he's just needed a couple of runs. He's looked big and burly at his two runs back from a spell. I must say he presented much better there third up yesterday, and they had the timing perfect. Robert was always smoking his pipe back in the field here and always ready to prounce. This horse rich enough. I don't think we can make an excuse for him, maybe just lacking a bit of match practice there. So I don't know where he stands in the thick of things now. I think
he settled a little better than he had been before, but he still has that tendency to want to charge a little bit.
Mm.
And that's always going to be a problem for him late in those races. Do you know that little horse, Big Money, was raised on a foster mare? That's probably why he's little.
Mm.
He's been a tremendous performer for Rod.
And Robert rode the mother, Lynn's Money, to win at Randwick many years ago. She was little, yeah.
Apparently the mother died a week after he was born from a snake bite. Mm. There you go.
I just don't know where that rich enough, you know, considering the big picture, they want, you know, he's a stallion prospect and he's, you know, he's the purchase for a bit of money. He's got I think the plan was to win another Group 1 with him.
I think he's hard to place.
And he's Group 2 on that performance, maybe Group 2.
Yeah.
He will improve.
Yeah.
But he was pretty well in order yesterday.
Decision time, was he in the right part of the track?
Yeah, he had to be one or two off.
Okay.
I think the track was pretty good yesterday, but decision time is decision time. He can bob up in a race like that now and again, and he ran one of his better races.
You were very lucky when you rode to have a Robert Thompson giving you tips along the way.
I certainly was, Greg. He was the one to follow, obviously, around the country and anywhere. He's the one you want to be following, whether he's on the favourite or the 50-1 chance, although he's not on many 50-1 chances, but he gets along with this horse really well. Mm. I thought he paraded much better, as you said, Ron, and he was much more calmer going to the gates yesterday. And his class carried him home. He's only little, but he's got a heart of gold.
Foot all the way in the irons.
Yeah.
Hands and heels.
Yeah, the
with
old
the heel, with the heels going.
Actually kicking the horse.
Yeah.
You old men. What did he bring all that up for?
I wonder what they'll do with
it. Pretty to watch.
Yeah.
And the big RT roar.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
You don't get close enough. Here's RT.
Great that he's back in the winners list, Greg. Especially for Mr. Maganda. Maganda is he's been on the sick list for a little while now, so this will really give him a big boost. And great congratulations to Rod and to Isabel, who, as I said, got him back on track. He had a shocking campaign last time. Rod had a lot of trouble with his feet, but he seems to be all over that now, so he's still got the will to win.
All right, let's move along to the Triskay Stakes now. This was race 8 on the program. Sultry Feeling is now a Group 3 winner. There it is, sitting second, behind Vergara and Peeping in third posse.
Yeah, a lot of these mares resuming, and they all had really good fresh form. But Sultry Feeling looked always in control here. She parked closer than normal. She raced fresh. And look, when Peeping looms up to you here, you think, oh, she's going to out-sprint Sultry Feeling. But she dug in and had a go, Sultry, and a confident ride by McAvoy, and that's a really good return. Look, in saying that, she got 5 kilos off Peeping, and Peeping, although having every chance, will improve off that performance. She's got there's a bigger picture for her. Severo, Vergara, just knocked up late there. But the first two across the line simply dominated that race. The race wasn't run to suit a mare like slightly sweet. She was never in the picture.
Peeping just peaked on a run 100 metres out?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, look, she had the big weight. She was first up. She has scope for improvement. Mm. And I wouldn't be too disappointed with that. I think Ronnie's thinking of maybe trying to get a door race like the Coolmore Classic. So she would she'd only be 85% there.
Yep.
Quickest, they didn't break 34 all day by that race.
Yeah.
33.87.
Well, that tells the tale, doesn't it? Mm. And they quickened up right just before that 600, so they burnt. And when they do that at Randwick, it's nearly impossible for those backmarkers to come into play.
All right, here's James Cummings now, the winning trainer.
Yeah, look, it's one of the few that I've really kicked up and said, you know, this mare has a group win in her, there's no doubt about that. She's top class, she's got that toughness that the Gouri stock are known for, but she's also got that a very elusive turn of foot, and she showed her first up last prep at Rose Hill. But she's been able to bring that to the Triskay today at Randwick, and she's beaten off a very, very good mare, Peeping and Vergara. They're both very good horses, so you know, she certainly hasn't found an easy race to do it, but she's done it in good style.
There is James Cummings. Rightio, that's Salty Feeling. Yeah, she was going to go to the breeding barn, but she's... What, she got another...
Reprieve, yeah.
She can't go for a while now.
No, well, that's exactly right. Let's go to the first of the day. Yeah, they got stuck into this, Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Tell Perry on. This was the... looking back on the day, this was the best backed horse all day.
Oh, no doubt. You know, he was 270 in the morning, and all of a sudden he smashed everywhere, the ring, the totes, everything, and he raced accordingly. Look, he'd led at his first start back in October, or last preparation. They rode him back in a trial, and he looked good, and they rode him negative yesterday. These splits here, from the point of the turn home, were sizzling.
Mm-hmm.
Sizzling. Splits of a sleeper for a big race.
Even
the Golden Sleeper.
I really like him. I reckon he's a really nice horse. You know, I think he's out of that mare Yavanna. Now, Lee had Yavanna, and I remember it, and I think it only won the one race at Pakenham, and it came from dead last, and everyone said that was unbelievable, right? And then I think it had problems after that and never won another race. But he's a nice type of horse, a big striding horse. He was as green as grass here. Duck, he just wanted to hang in a little bit and wobble out a little bit, and he didn't quite know what to do once he got past them. And I think he had a look at the gate too. Oh, he just thought, oh, I have a look at this.
He was. James McDonald said he was going to run out, and he said he had to give him a good slap just to keep his mind on the job.
Yeah, I like him.
That's when he really accelerated, I think, when James pulled the stick through to the left hand. He really got going. I thought he was very impressive. Plenty more to come from him, and he'll take plenty of benefit because he did pull up and have a very good blow.
He did. Mm. What I liked about him, they went slow on his back, and mid-race I had that feel, geez, you're giving this horse a little bit to do here.
Yeah, set him a
and
task.
And then within, bang.
Mm. Yeah.
It was like an exosphere performance, you know, where they can just pick them up in two strides. You don't see that often. Mm. And horses with acceleration like that that can run a, you know, a 10-8 sectional are good horses.
What about Beeman? I asked Beeman yesterday, where's this horse sit? John O'Shea was being interviewed. I thought, I'll get Beeman on the side here.
Try and say,
where does this sit? You know, is this, where's Astern, you know, is this Tell Perry I'm Better? He said... Yeah, it's in our top 10.
You know what they all say?
It's in
that.
Our top 10.
They're instructed to say that. Everyone who asks them which is better, oh, no, they're all going. Yeah. They're all good. Right? They tell you nothing.
They
don't know.
No, pretty good.
He has come off the bridle at the 600 as well. You've seen James give him a little nig along as if he might have been gone, but as soon as he got him to the outside, he just accelerated.
Mm, impressive. Very
all right. Here's Happy John after the win.
James probably got there a little bit quicker than he thought. He gathered him in very quickly and then probably had a little look around when he got to the front. He's a lovely colt and we're very happy with him and I think he's got a lovely future. He's rates very highly. We think, you know, when we get to the races, get a little bit longer, he might really come into his own. And but he doesn't need to do too much now. We probably have one more run and then we'll assess where he fits in or what race we want to run him.
A day at the races.
Must strike back.
Mobile Strike. Download and play now. Free from the App Store.
Autumn Carnival. The tradition continues.
At Triple Crown Syndications, we don't just dream the dream, we live it. By creating success on the track and experiences of a lifetime. Here's your opportunity to join Triple Crown with Peter and Paul Snowden in racing this exceptional colt by boom sire Smart Missile. And he'll be targeted at next year's Magic Millions. To join the Triple Crown team in racehorse ownership, call now on 02 9499 5212 or visit triplecrown.com.au. Triple Crown, Live the dream.
Friedman's just complaining about how much work he's doing, holding the rest of us up.
Yeah, oh well.
You're carrying us today, Rich.
Yeah.
Let's go to Springbok Flyers win in the second, the staying race. And it was made a staying test by Tommy Berry, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was. They must have got a rest mid-race because these on-pace horses kept going. Look, it was like the Chris Waller staying bone and muscle here, and Springbok Flyer with the more recent run under his belt, Defrost My Heart, just loomed up to just go straight past him. I'm wondering whether she had a little bit of a think about it.
He'd put plenty of pressure on, hadn't he, Springbok Flyer? From about the 700-metre mark, I think he'd started to step it up. But he'd had that run 10 days ago over the 2,700 metres, and I think
that's what helped
may have just told the last 50 metres.
Yeah, it was just...
Maybe the others were feeling it, weren't they?
They were feeling it. But, a real domination. Two very, very strong stayers.
They were going around at the midweeks. These aren't... Although Springbok Flyer's in great form. I think he's well placed.
There's no Sydney Cup winners there.
No. Okay, that was Springbok Flyer. Let's move on to... this is the Tab Highway. This was very well backed. When the fluctuations went up on course, it was $16 into 10 very quickly, but at that time, which is about 25 minutes out from jump time, it was paying $59 on the tote.
Wow.
And came right in, of course.
Yeah, well, they usually level up those types of horses. It was never going to pay $59. It was a really good ride, this, by Sam Clinton. She's really riding with confidence at the moment. And it was a 1,800 metre sort of Tab Highway country race. And once we get these distances, it's look at them here. It's 0.9 of a length covering the first eight across the line. I'd suggest the best run in the race was from King's Officer. Yep. He had too much to do with 59 back in the field, and he was just getting over the top of them late there. But these races are just coming down to who's getting the right run, and it was Sam doing the job on the winner there, that's for sure.
Priscilla, we've seen some good highways, 1,200 up to 1,400, maybe 1,500. But when you're stretching out to 1,800 and beyond, where does the class sit in the country?
I think it's just a little bit hard to line it up. In the country, they don't have a lot of staying races, so you've kind of got horses that perhaps have tried the 2,000 metres, haven't run it, are strong at the mile, they're just having a throw at the stumps here with the 1,800. We see a lot of the short course, and I think the highway races are very competitive, but just the hype around for so many runners to go over the line together, and all the participants that have their country horses there, they get so excited.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good
and
fun.
It's very good fun. I don't think the horses are world beaters that come for these.
Well, the winner
highway 1,800
one race out of 22 starts or something, and he was eligible for class one, he's fallen over the line. A great effort because I think he's had problems, but you're right. It's the hype of them all going over the line together.
And everyone's a chance at the 100.
Yeah.
You watch how strong this country championship's going to be this year.
Yep.
It's going to be magnificent. Every area's got something.
Yeah.
Some are definitely stronger than the others, but this is going to be better than last year.
Everyone thinks they have the winner.
And another highway goes south. Is that... We were right there again?
Goulburn. South of Sydney.
Another
south in front.
They won 11 of the 17.
Now, here's Gary Portelli and Sam Clinton. Sam Clinton rode a double yesterday. Tester Shadow was 2,000 back to a mile on the 7-day backup.
Yeah, a bit of an afterthought here too. It was a late nom for the race, so Gary's obviously identified that this wasn't a strong race. His horse had done well from the week before, and boy, he'd been a bit of a gay deceiver in previous preparations, but Sam gets on with him so well.
Well, he wouldn't jump, would he?
No, he's always been a bit of a problem horse, but she's won three of his last five on him, and he's really turned the corner and racing in great heart. This horse, Allegri, I don't know about her. She loomed up and you thought she was going to go. She thinks all right. Don't worry about that. She's been beaten favourite too many times.
She thinks, because I saw when she went to go to that horse, she thought, I'll bet she hangs in or something here, finds something to do.
Yeah. Two horrible runs in this race. Dubio, who probably didn't run the distance, he was just put to sleep there. You think he's going to sprint home, but he did nothing. And Maracabar, I thought he was well fancied as well and did nothing. So two real flops in that race from two favoured runners. But he's just racing in great heart, this horse.
All right, let's go to the last race of the day. And here's another jockey in form, Brenton Abdullah. He just timed everything to perfection here, didn't he, on Supreme Effort?
And he's been doing it so often lately. You know, if there's a close finish, Brenton will get the result. So everything's just happening for him at the moment. He had a bit of a break between runs. Kim had taken him back to a Gosford trial where he trialled brilliantly, and he really run right up to that. So he gets there and just gets up on the line from the horse that did all the work up front, Mersu, and he was tough there and a lot of confidence about him. This Hong Kong horse gets dragged back through the field here, my favourite. He was in a good spot and he was held up. He runs fifth in this race. I reckon he should have nearly figured in the finish. That's him just working home into fifth spot there.
In the blue?
He just got, from the point of the turn on, he got carted right back through the field from a good position. I thought that, and he had 60.5 kilos, first run in 2.5 years. If he can train on from that performance, there's a win in him somewhere.
It was a deceptive finish, wasn't it? It looked as though, from where we were watching it live, it might have been Mersu on the inside, but he just knows where that post is at the moment, Abdullah.
Yeah, he does. Look, I was convinced Mersu had won looking live, but when you saw the slow-mo, he just stuck his head out right on the line. It was a well-judged ride.
Did you mention Crooked Blaze there?
Yeah, look, he was well-tried at big odds, and he sprinted up like he was going to do something as well. So they've just missed with him landing some big bets as well. That was a really good betting race. A lot of horses were supported there, different angles, different punters took.
Yeah.
I thought the run of Crooked Blaze was very good. He was back in the run. He was wide. He come round the field. He never changed legs the whole run. He wanted to hang in down the straight, and I think had he gone straighter, he would have finished much closer.
Mm. All right. Mm. Priscilla, Ron and I will just duck off for half an hour. How do you take your coffee?
I'll have white with one,
white
please.
White with one, Ronnie?
Yeah.
White with one.
Too short. Do you want us to bring you anything back,
No, he's staying.
No, we can bring you something back.
I'll have my butler bring it in.
All he wants is his phone back. Anyway.
it's the Richard Friedman segment of the show coming up next.
Thank you. There's your word.
Stay with us. See if more stakes is next.
The thrill of the competition, the roar of the crowd, pitting yourself against the best, being part of a team. Stop watching and join the game. I did.
Oh, so close. But, you know, we're so happy with the run. It feels like a win for us.
Oh, traffic's moving. Go celebrate.
Thanks, Betty.
Get more from the Autumn Carnival with Tab's wide range of sensational racing offers, all designed to give you better value. Find out more at tab.com.au.
And they're off.
Tab, more than just winning.
Be a part of racing's premier event, coming to Scone, on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
CF4 stakes yesterday. Let's go to the race that Winx wouldn't have won yesterday, according to Richard Friedman. Take it away.
I don't know whether she wouldn't have won or not, but she'd have found it a lot tougher because this had 13 Group 1 winners in it, this race. And, you know, when you're having a look at horses coming around the corner here. Now, the leader here,
Turn Me Loose.
Look, he's first up. He's never won first up before. And he did set a decent pace here, so he's entitled to get a bit weary. All the leaders around him started to collapse. Now, you'll see Suavito start to get the split between them here. Here she comes in the black and lime green there. Now, she won the Futurity first up at the last preparation, which was last autumn. It's been a long time off the scene. She had a few problems, and it's a great effort from Nigel Blackston to get her up to the mark there. She's a very, very good mare first up there. I think her first up record is 5 runs now for 3 wins, a second and a third. So she's very good. Now, she gets that split there. She was over towards the fence, which I think by that time of the day, as the track starts to dry out at Caulfield, it gets more and more that way. And so she was in the right spot. There's Lucky Hustler in the yellow. Now, if you go back into the field there, Lucky Hustler and Bow Creek were right next to each other, mm-hmm. and they were both looking for the same run. Lucky Hustler got there first, and poor old Bow Creek copped the backwash of it. He'd have finished off the race just as well there. Look, there are a stack of runs in this race you could be pleased about. I think that Lucky Hustler was unlucky, Bow Creek unlucky, Boban, Happy Trails finished off all right, Faulkner finished off all right for a 2,400 metres, Hucklebuck, well there he is running down the outside there in those pink colours, and you know he's got within a length and a half of the winner there. It was good enough to say that he's on target. Rising Romance, she finished off the race all right, so look, they're entitled to finish off the race. There'd been a bit of pace on. There'd been a bit of strength up in pace. So they were entitled to finish off, but they did. And I'd be happy with all of them.
Yeah, look, a couple of horses I want to mention are Bow Creek, as you mentioned there.
I haloed him.
Yeah,
Bossy got suspended earlier in the day in race two, and he got suspended again in that race. Two suspensions served concurrently. It's not a long stretch, but he got Bow Creek there.
Yeah, and the other one she didn't mention there, and I don't think she was ever out of second gear there, was Fenway.
Yes.
She was just never let go at any stage of that race. Her run was excellent, and she, look, all depends what you're back there. You could make a case and, you know, put your hands in the air and say, oh, that should have finished closer. It was one of them races where you could be happy with a lot of runs in that race.
Lucky Hustler was the one that should have won the race.
Well, yeah. but you say that a lot about him, because he gets back in fields and he needs luck, you know, and especially at this level. And they did run good time in it. They ran 122, just over 122 and a half. That's pretty good there.
Boban is a horse that needs cover, and he got sort of exposed a bit. It's not his go. So he's still run well there also. He's an ambush horse who needs, you know, to be smothered back in the field on the inside. So you could make a case his run was good too. So
yeah, it was.
Like I said, lots of good runs.
Yep.
Full credit to the winner, first up after knee surgery, nearly 12 months off. I know she got the breaks, but wow,
he's a very good trainer, Nigel Blackiston.
Brilliant trainer.
Very good trainer.
Too off, too often we're looking back in the field for all the great runs, and it might have been right in front of us, the winner.
For sure. Yep. Yeah.
Very good. Let's go to Samara Dancer now. Now, Philip Stokes has got himself pretty good filly here. This Blue Diamond's opening up, and yesterday was a pretty important day for horses heading to the Blue Diamond, Richard.
Yeah, it certainly was. This is the
Phillies
division, and I thought it was a pretty good effort here. They ran about the same time in both efforts here. Samara Dancer, she came off the back of that win at Morphettville there. It was a dominant win over there, and she was very well backed here to take it out. Just sat behind them there, accelerated well. Definitely a live chance, I reckon, going into the Blue Diamond here. Phillies look as good as the Colts. Concealer, well, came from last. They ran 34 and a half the last 600 here. Must have run under 34 for the last 600, so that's a very good effort. Mr. Miria ran on, okay. I think the first two, though, they'd be the only ones I'd be looking at Blue Diamond-wise.
I couldn't agree more. Samara Dancer, geez, he can ride this bloke, Tanua.
Yeah.
He just went bang, that's my spot. And his ride on Hucklebuck in the oil was a beauty as well. He can ride.
Yeah.
This is a good filly. This was $17 on Wednesday. It started $4 favourite. It was a huge go. He doesn't get it wrong too often, Stokes, and he's got himself a good filly there. The second filly was
good. Absolutely agreed. And I wanted to mention Luke Curry on winning on Suavito. That is a long time since, I think 13 years since he won a Group 1, but he rode it beautifully and he's been riding beautifully.
Concealer was good, missed the start wide, a real good Blue Diamond trial. Yep. Went against a 1200, better barrier. Yep.
All right. They're the two.
Okay. Look, Mick Price holds the key at the moment, doesn't he?
Yep.
He's got Extreme Choice and he's got Flying Artie.
Wonder what Oliver will do.
Well, Oliver's got the pick.
Yep.
Mick Price won't commit. Who's the better horse? Oliver's going to sit back and wait, and apparently Craig Newitt's going to get the one he discards. He's Flying Artie.
Well, Flying Artie sort of jumped awkwardly and got back. He sat wide, but there's no turns. It's just straight down the Queens Row side and round the corner. So that's kind of like Blue Diamond pattern. A lot of horses win Blue Diamonds racing that way. So I think it was a very, very good effort. His last splits must have been very, very good here. Smart colt, no doubt about that. Revolving Door ran on well. Star Turn was brave. His first run the Melbourne way, and he probably improves a little bit on that. But as you say, D. Oliver, which way will he go? The Extreme Choice, which is the extreme speed machine, or do you ride Flying Artie, who looks like at the end of the race he's going to be very, very strong? I don't know. I think for Damien's riding style, Flying Artie is suits his style better, but that doesn't mean he'll pick that horse. But I'd say Flying Artie, Revolving Door were probably the two blue diamonds. Some chance for Star Turn if it improves.
Star Turn if it improves, but the winner stands alone.
Yep.
There. He dragged him back trying to settle him at the start, trying to get behind a stable mate, which he wanted to overrace. That horse, if he draws a barrier, don't worry, he's not a back marker. He could just box seat third or fourth. Mm. He's got speed, that horse. Mm. I think the key with the decision with between this horse and Extreme Choice is Extreme Choice against a listed race on the same day, run the same time as the older horses. These two-year-old races were a second off the speed.
Yes. Yeah, albeit the one you're comparing it to was a...
Doesn't matter.
...was a belting effort, we'll get to it.
OK, do you back Oliver? If you're tossing up between the pair, do you just go with... If you're having a bet, go with Oliver?
No.
To what he picks? Is he going to get it right?
No. It's a tricky one. And if the market... Just goes with him. I could nearly go the other way. There's not much in it.
You know what? If I were Mick, I don't know what Mick's going to do. I'm not telling him what to do, but I'd be saying, Damien, you're riding Flying Artie, and Craig, you're riding the other one, because I think it suits.
Well, I think
the riders suit the horses.
No, I think if Oliver rides Flying Artie, I think Schofield gets back on Extreme Choice.
I read a story where I thought I knew it was going to.
And if Oliver rides Extreme Choice, then knew it goes on.
Okay.
So
I think that as a trainer, you get your best chance with Damien on that horse.
Hmm.
And I think that suits him. But anyway.
All right, well, that's Flying Artie. Let's go to this Riverton now. And this is Heatherly.
Oh, well, this was just a one-act affair. Heatherly just jumped to the lead, pricked her ears. She's the three-year-old in the race. There was another one in it, but she's carrying the lightweight here because of the conditions of the race. And she just went to the front. They never saw which way she went. And ran time too. 1:02.2 is very quick. 33 and a tick on the way home. Look, it's her eighth run for a fourth win. She's had, I think, 2 seconds and a third, and she's run a fifth. I mean, she's been never far away. And with 51 kilos here, you just can't make excuses for the rest of them. Politeness there in the white cap with the white blinkers towards the outside there. Ran exactly as you would have expected her to run in this sort of race. Got back, finished off well, but was beaten a long way. Look, there aren't many other runs there. Kiro finished off all right, but he's hard to place. The winner is just a speed machine.
She's always had trouble harnessing that speed, and she's a little bit... She's a late autumn three-year-old filly now, and she's beat the older horses. I don't know. She'll go to an Oakley Plate now, and they've done a great job with getting her into form, but just a Bullet's run third there. He's a 500-to-1 chance. Like, he's an Albury horse, you know, like... I'm a little sus about the whole situation there.
Yeah, fair enough. You mentioned the time. She ran 1:02.21. The two-year-olds ran 1:03.11 for the fillies and 1:03.04 for the colts. So they were very close together, but you're right. It was nearly a full second to the older horse.
All right, we're off to a break. We'll come back. We'll look at one of the best performances of the day. Mahuta is next.
Ground floor, please.
Must strike back.
Mobile Strike. Download and play now, free from the App Store. Over $60 million in laptops, desktops, and all-in-one computers must go. Harvey Norman Computer Runout Sale. All 2015 models must go. Desktop and all-in-one computers with Intel Inside from $387 each. Laptops from $244. Pentium quad-core laptops from $448. Intel Core i5 laptops from $687. Intel Core i7 laptops from $874. Over $60 million worth of computers must go. Harvey Norman Computer Runout Sale. Do not miss out.
Go!
Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience, turning your dreams into reality.
The all-too-hard filly out of Empress Wu is a cracker. Moves beautifully, her conformation is perfect, and I'm really excited to be training the Relation of Royal Descent. Come and join Derby Racing and me in this wonderful filly.
By calling 0246 480 998 or visit derbyracing.com.au. Derby Racing, for the ultimate racing experience.
an amazing flying camera, that. She flies through the air on a piece of
string. You're complaining about how far behind we are, and now you're talking about the camera.
It went through the wall one day.
What race are we up to? Oh, here we go. Mahuta. Very good. But one of the performances of the day.
Isn't he? I mean, he just jumps straight out. He went to the lead there. Now, Holler chased him and probably put a lot of pressure on him, but Mahuta busted Holler. Holler was gone by about as soon as they straightened up here. He'd had enough. And Mahuta, he was let go early in the straight here, and Bradra Willer, who rode a treble on the day for Darren Weir, he really asked him to extend, and the horse is as honest as the day is long, and he just gave everything he had. But I tell you what, there are a couple of absolute pearl runs behind it. Look, Mahuta, I've got great respect for. He's just one of those horses that doesn't know how to run a bad race. But Sailing By, great return to the track. Black Type in her everywhere this spring, this autumn somewhere. And Tarzino, well, the track was probably playing towards the fence a little bit. Caulfield does that as it starts to dry out and get drier during the day. He's just fantastic coming home.
He's a nose. That's a nose off being a bad ride, isn't it?
No, look, that's a sensational performance. Don't worry about the good runs behind him. That winner.
I know, it's tough, wasn't it?
He had 59. He missed the start. He drove him. Yeah. He took off at the 700. Yeah. Don't worry about your sectional times. I don't care if he's come home in 38. That's one of the best performances of the day.
I'm with you.
He used his mid-race speed. He broke their heart.
He was entitled to get beaten, wasn't he?
He's a good
horse. He didn't.
He is a good horse. I think he's six from six with blinkers.
And he just keeps, it doesn't seem to put him out, just keeps rolling him around. He's going to go to the Australian Guineas, I think.
It shapes up as a great Australian Guineas. Yeah. But could this Kiwi come across to Australia and be a force in the Australian Guineas? He is extravagant. The first time we showed him on this show was when he won the 2,000 Guineas at Rickenham. Now, the track was, I think, downgraded from a good three to a dead four. This is a group one at Tarapa yesterday, and they decided, Richard, to stay. There's a strip hard up against the fence. That's where we're going. You can please yourself.
Well, that's weird. You know, I can't work this out. They sort of gave him that much head start. And look, he's good enough to have done the job there. He jumped out and led early and then just took the sit behind a couple of others that wanted to go hard. And then on the corner, they all started hitting out in the middle of the track. He went round the fence and just left them behind. Look, he's very smart and they're very excited about him over there. He'll come over here and acquit himself well. These New Zealand horses with this sort of class just seem to be right there now. So
I reckon they mowed that strip for him.
You know what they're like over there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at our horse, you know. They had the mower out in the track after the previous race. That's going on there.
And told one jockey.
Where are they going? Where are the other jockeys going?
That was Matt Cameron on board there, by the way, who made that decision. It was good effort.
All right. Okay, let's move along. We move to the Kevin Hayes Stakes now.
Yep.
David Hayes, this is an import. Speaking of New Zealand, this is an import from Kiwi land. Pick him up around the home turn.
Okay, well, we're looking for a horse back in the field here, a risque, in those green and sort of blue-white colours there, just trying to find a way towards the outside. Finds its way out there, and it has won up to 1,600 metres. It was a 1,000 Guineas winner last start in New Zealand. So, you know, obviously better suited at a longer trip than the Kevin Hayes distance of 1,200 metres here. And just, you know, found the line very, very strongly there. It's hard to say that anything was of much, you know, the good run mossing around and that and those, you know, a couple of handy runs behind it. But I think he was seeing a bit of class here. Mm. And she'll only improve with this. And as the races get a little bit longer, she's going to be a threat in anything.
They paid a bit of money for this filly out of New Zealand. They bought her as a tried horse over there. They're going to reap some rewards. When she gets to a mile, she'll eat up the ground. And John Thompson's done a great job with that mossing around. Won at big odds at the midweeks. And then all of a sudden he's gone to Melbourne. He's got the black type. Great job.
Mm. I think she's going to the Australian Guineas as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Now let's quickly go through the other two races. We've got the show Richard Burning Front and also Tuscan Sling, which ended a great day for Darren Weir. He ended up trading four.
Well, Darren's got a heap of these horses that just don't know how to run a bad race, and this is another one here, Burning Front in the Carline Cup. It's only 1,600 metres now. It used to be 2,000 metres. But he just went to the front. They just allowed him to coast along in front. I'm not saying that he ran slow time, but he did stack him up at one stage and gave himself a rest there. So that was a good front-running ride on that one. Look, he's got the great record. He's had 35 starts for 11 wins, 8 seconds and 8 thirds. I mean, he just is model.
Was only his 20th run this prep, too.
Yeah, I know. He's just coming right.
They did get a rest because 1 and 2 round the corner finished 1 and 2 in the race, right? So nothing really finished off the race behind them, which I think is pace-related, and it was late in the day. And that suits that track. But credit to a horse that just doesn't know how to run a bad race.
Great trainer. Great trainer.
And the last of the day, here he is again, do we?
Well, another one of these horses that he's got with the fantastic record. Only had the 11 starts, 6 wins, a second and 3 thirds. I mean, they just don't know how to run bad races. Tuscan Sling here, sat just off the leaders. There was steady pace, at earlier on, and they sort of piled on a bit more pressure there. Azcadelia. Now, here's Azcadelia in the pink and blue down the outside, finishing off as they expected it to. Now, it didn't win, but on that track, under those circumstances, I thought it was a very good first-up effort. Gets to 14 or 1600 with a bit more pace on, and it's going to win very, very soon.
Good mare. Yeah, very good mare, Azcadelia. She wouldn't have been ready yet. I think they're thinking of Sydney, Coolmore, Doncaster, I'm hearing.
That's a fair plan.
Mm. Yeah. So, let's go to Brisbane now. Here's a trainer that is going very well, Priscilla, Tony Gollan, and Whiskey All Round. Record 11 starts for just the 2 wins, but wins a listed race yesterday.
Oh, he's hard to catch. Yeah. He's his own worst enemy. I think he's suited by the fast run races where he can get off the bridle. If they steady up mid-race, he's in a habit of getting on the bridle and wanting to lay out. I thought the second horse was very good. No real excuse for anything else in the race. I thought Someday was a little bit unlucky over the concluding stages, but Whiskey All Round, he's hard to catch, but when he wins, he wins well.
I thought Someday might have made it really interesting and not got stood on his head there. I tell you what, I feel sorry for that track. Look at the amount of fill that they're kicking up there. It's just had to be filled and filled and filled. There's Someday in that yellow, in those yellow colours there. It goes to go to the outside, play percentages, then says, oh, there's a gap, no, that's gone. Come across the heels here, look, there's a gap, no, that's gone. Just nothing worked out, did it?
No, certainly deserved a bit of better fate. A spirit shoe, she pulled up mildly lame as well.
All right, just 2 talking points out of Brisbane. Right or wrong one again?
Yeah, it looks
he's
all right.
He's in a listed race in a couple of weeks' time. And I'm Bellucci, who we'll probably see down here for a derby. He led yesterday.
Not his go.
No,
not his go. He seemed, he's still worth another look at. He looked good in the autumn.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, plenty more to come on Thoroughbred Weekly.
In the spring, I should have said.
Be a part of racing's premier event, coming to Wagga Wagga on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
Begins.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer a fantastic yearling filly by champion sire Exceed and Excel from Houston Benefactor, the stakes class winner of 3 races and 3/4 sister to champion mare Princess Koo.
The filly that I want to be training is Exceed and Excel Houston Benefactor. The way she walks, the way she moves, and really, she was a filly of the same.
Join the Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit our website or call 1-800-619-999.
Hey, Okay, welcome back. Last segment of the show. We're going to show you some track gallops right now from yesterday. First Seal was in action, and so was Press Statement and also Catkins. There's Onesta, the grey, and First Seal the outside.
Yeah, they both seem to be ticking along pretty well. Onesta did a great job last preparation. First Seal's coming back after that little operation that you had to have on a foot. You know me, I've always been a sucker for First Seal. I'm on her every start. She looks in really good shape.
Only having a canter there.
Yeah, she looks in good order. She had a recent, she only had a trial that previous Monday. Mm.
And Press Statement and Catkins working between races as well. I think we've got that footage. Which one's Catkins? Outside Catkins, yeah.
Yeah, both ticking along nicely. She's a great mare, Catkins, and Press Statement's form. Well, it speaks for itself. Another one, just going through the motions here and getting ready to...
No, I reckon you've got to say to the trainers, if you're going to get a gallop on the course proper on race day...
Can you do something?
Can you make them gallop, you know? Can you actually let them go?
Actually, there should be a stipulation to use the course proper between races. You've got to have a real gallop.
Yeah, gallop.
Let the punter see something.
Exactly.
Let's learn something. Let something put four lengths in.
That's what I'd say.
And thanks to our genius director, Ron, who, when I said, oh, which one's Catkins, he said, it's the grey.
Thanks for that.
He hasn't done this show for a long time. Remember, amazing last week we were trying to show you those that horse that savaged the other horse at in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Well, Majeska must have been watching the show and picked up some tips, because on Friday night it did the same thing.
Unbelievable, isn't it? You know, you don't see it often.
This is a proper savage, though. I missed it the first time round because of the way things are structured there. I was hosting it. They didn't see it. But everyone... That is a proper savage, that.
Jeez. That reminds me of you at contract negotiation.
Who's that on the inside, then?
That's management.
Huey Bowman, a.k.a. management, said it was only centimetres away from taking something off his hand.
Wow.
It would have been quite vicious.
Yeah, that said meant it, didn't it?
Now, can we go to Hong Kong? This is what we were trying to point out last week. Now, we showed you the first race where this horse savaged another horse, but there's more to the story, Ronnie.
Yeah, that's anticipation having a go at Victory Magic there.
And that's just a nip.
Yeah. And then they have another go at him at another race. So it's just amazing.
Majeska's looked at that and said, that's not a savage.
Yeah.
This is a savage.
That's a match race between those two.
You can fight it out. But that's the same horse there, savaging the horse for the second time.
Exactly.
The same horse.
There's no other history of doing it.
There's history there. We can't
between the two.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The same two horses to happen on two occasions.
He just doesn't like... What's the other horse's name?
Victory Magic.
Magic. He just doesn't like Victory Magic.
He hates it.
Now, we were at Hawkesbury on Thursday, and we saw... This was a nothing accident. The horse... I think Jess Taylor went over the other side, and next minute, the horse has stepped on her, and she's broken her wrist.
It looked like she trod on a leg or a hip or something, and she hopped up as if she was going to hop straight back on.
Yeah.
And obviously, the pain just kicked in because she just went white. And next minute, a wrist injury come up, and now, she's actually broken it.
And now we know why she almost fainted. Have a look at that.
I wonder if she was
white. Isn't that a beauty?
Jeez.
Poor old Jess Taylor. We're thinking of her. She's, how long's a wrist take to mend?
How did we get Jess Taylor's x-ray?
We rang the doctor. We rang the doctor and said...
We wanted to make sure.
You sure you haven't got that off the internet and said, that's Jess Taylor's?
Yeah, no, actually, we googled broken wrist.
There it is.
Why would we...
Well, we remember
just take our word for it once in a while.
Remember when Andrew Bensley used to put foals up, and I'd say, "How do you know that's the foal?"
Yeah, that's true.
Bensley, yes.
We're better than Bensley, though.
Now, as I get to spend my Valentine's Day with Three Thorns, I've got you all a rose.
Is that appropriate?
It's Valentine's Day every day at my joint, anyway.
Somebody said to Ron yesterday, "What day's Valentine's Day?" Oh, I think it's Tuesday.
That is lovely, but I think I'll give mine.
Can you take it?
Take it back.
I better keep mine.
That'll save me $10 a month.
You're the new golden child here. You'll get all the money.
Exactly. Is that it? That's it. Thanks, Priscilla. You're going to Grafton tomorrow?
Grafton tomorrow, Taree Tuesday, and back to Canterbury on Wednesday.
Jeez. Right.
I'd try that one on me.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. See you later.
Too hard.
The 2016 Sydney Autumn Carnival, March 12 to April 16, with time-honoured classics.
Don't miss the Longines Golden Slipper Carnival at Rosehill Gardens, featuring Australia's biggest day of Group 1 racing.
Then there's the Championships, the Grand Finals of Australian Racing at Royal Randwick. Purchase your golden ticket by March 19,
and you can attend any day of the carnival.
Visit the atc.com.au. The Sydney Autumn Carnival, the tradition continues. Bingley is celebrating Chinese New Year with fantastic bargains across selected products store-wide. Just look for the red price tickets and grab a deal. Only for a limited time and only at Bingley.
Hi, John Tapp here, inviting harness racing fans to join Chris Lang and myself for a wonderful European adventure highlighted by a day at the Elite Lop in Sweden. We'd love to have your company. Google Jeremy Nolan Travel.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished above a GP in Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
Yes, good morning. It's